Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. The crew is here. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. Don't forget Predators and Ducks tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. I'll have pregame for you at 6 and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know this time on Tuesdays, it's our weekly chat with the GM. Predators General Manager David Poile has been nice enough to stop by, brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. David, how the heck are you?
I'm okay. I'll be better when we win tonight. Yeah. I mean, since last time we talked, we were had the three-game road trip, and then we played Florida the other night, and, you know, kind of mixed reviews, and I'd like to see us get into, a more consistent game on both sides of the puck and, get a big win here tonight.
What has jumped out at you on why there hasn't been consistent? We know one thing that's been consistent has been the offense, but what's jumped out on why you think it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride?
Well, it's interesting. What's the saying? You take care of one thing and then something else pops up, so to speak. Well, there's been so much talk all of last season about our offense and about our power play, and both of those areas are going very well, and we're certainly scoring enough goals, and we're producing pretty regularly on our power play, but one of our strengths last year was our penalty killing, and I see today we're in 30th place, and that's really hurt us in almost every game, and the fact that we have not been able to, kill off the penalties at a higher rate, and for sure is probably factored in a couple of the recent games where we weren't victorious. It's always a little bit of a balancing act. The other night against Florida, one of the stats that really caught my eye was, we missed the net or had a shot blocked, I think it was 42 times, which put that in perspective, Florida only had 13. And it's just like we were all over it, but we couldn't get the goal or we couldn't finish, correctly. So I thought we were playing well, but instead of getting 2 points, we get 1 point. So it's early in the season, and this is a big conference game. I think we always have, really strong games against Anaheim, usually physical games. For whatever
They're
reason that might
fun.
Be. Yeah, so let's see how we play tonight.
Well, David, over the years, especially the history of this franchise, I mean, there's been very few times when we've really ever talked about anything when it comes to the penalty kill other than good stuff, right? I mean, it's overall, the body of work has always been at a really, really high level. Last year it was sixth. The year before that it was sixth in the league. And like you said, 30th, and actually the team that's 31st is Winnipeg. Yeah. They're actually dead last in the league on the penalty kill.
Yeah. Like I said, it's you plug the dike,
it's
so to speak.
It's the leak, right?
Something else comes up. So again, it's there from the defense out with the goaltending and what have you. But I think there's been some missed assignments and some different situations. I feel the coaches totally agree that it's all correctable, and we probably have to pay more attention to it. And that's probably what I just said there probably makes the most sense. We probably have overloaded on our talk and preparation and maybe even the practicing about our offense versus the defense. So it is clearly a balance, and hopefully tonight we'll see a little bit better job in that area.
I wanted you to talk a minute about Craig Smith, who just played in his 600th career NHL game, obviously all for one franchise, this one, and just what the body of work has been like for Craig Smith, a draft pick of yours, and you've obviously invested a lot of time and money into Craig Smith over the years. What did you think whenever you heard career game 600 Saturday night?
Same thing I always think. I'm the only one that's getting any older than the organization. again, this is going to come across as a little bit of a contradiction. Very consistent every year. You know, Craig, I think it's four of the last 5 years, if I'm right here, scores 20 goals and pretty predictable in his output and what he does for the Predators. Obviously, shows up every night. Great work ethic. Great speed. That consistency comes with a lot of inconsistency. And here we go at the beginning of this year where I think he only has one assist in the first eight games. Smitty's been a real streaky player during his career. When he gets hot, it's great. And when he's not, it's not perfect. If I could wish anything for him and for us, it would be to kind of have that more consistency all the time. I mean, I don't think we nor he could put a finger on it because it's you know, pretty well happens every year. And he just... you know, right now he can't buy a goal. He's just, I know he's really frustrated. And, you know, getting back on our offense, again, you're looking for now we got our top two lines going pretty well. You're looking for this secondary, you know, scoring. And, again, if a guy like Smitty starts getting the odd goal here and there, it just makes us a hard team to play against, a hard team to win because we're going to be putting up so much offense. But right now he's in a little bit of a rut, but we know by history that he's going to get out of that. And again, I'm saying a lot about tonight, so tonight would be a real good time to get out of that, man. For him. But 600 games, good for him. Good that you know, we have players that we keep and play that long for our franchise. I'm proud of that. I mean, you know, we always talk about improving the team and making trades, but there's nothing better to me than drafting a player and having a homegrown player here for as long as possible.
I had a conversation with Dante Fabrell, you'll hear in pregame, and I brought that up to him, and he said, "I hope you're still interviewing me for my 600th game." And I said, "Well, that'll make me really old when you get to that point." But I wanted to bring up just like him starting off his career, you know, and we're talking, here's Craig Smith. And obviously you want us to be talking about Dante Fabrell's 600th career game with the Nashville Predators. So now that he's logged eight games and then he had the 10 last year, including the playoffs, his small body of work, what have you seen out of Fabro to this point?
I think so far so good. Really a calm player, a lot of poise, makes the occasional mistake. Seems like when he does that, he doesn't repeat it. The coaches all feel that he's very coachable. Coaches, in particular Kevin McCarthy, are spending a lot of time with Dante, reviewing his shifts, you know, every game, and trying to make sure that he understands what we're trying to do, understands what we need him to do, and the minutiae of the game, you know, where you should be in certain situations. You know, sometimes a foot here or a foot there makes a big difference to where you're, how you successful, where you hold your stick, how you carry it, how you can intercept passes, things like that. But I think Dante's got a real good mind for the game, really good hockey sense, and so far so good. Again, as we've said before, you know, with PK leaving, Dante's playing pretty big minutes right now. I mean, can he keep that up? So I think he can, but again, it's a lot to give a young guy at this time of his career.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, our weekly chat with him. And David, it looks like the numbers are certainly popping off the page for Ryan Ellis, but the way he's moving looks like he's found another gear. He just looks great out there doing everything that we know he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ryan, you know, was a little bit injured last year, not to the point that he couldn't play, but I think a healthy summer and changing up his routine a little bit has allowed him to, you know, regain his confidence and thus regain his jump, his speed. And I mean, I don't think we've had a better player than Ryan Ellis, and, you know, maybe Duchesne on the forward, but, you know, Ryan and Yost on defense have been really, really good. And obviously the fact that Ryan's got all of these points is really good for him. And I mean, even though he's a veteran player now, you still need to get your confidence and what have you. And if something's bothering you a little bit, you're just off. And I think last year at different times he was just off a little bit. And this is a fantastic start for him.
Kyle Turris has really, he had a huge goal the other night. His production looks pretty good. And, of course, with Forsberg out, he's moved back to center. Duchesne has slid over to the wing here. You knew it was it had to be a little bit of a puzzle to find the right role for him when Duchesne came in terms of the number of centers you have available on the roster here. But it looks like he's handled it pretty well, and obviously he's playing really well right now.
Yeah, there's no question that Kyle Turris is a top player, and it just unfortunately, for lots of reasons that we've talked about many, many times, his year didn't go well from last year. At top of that was two injuries that took him out of the lineup for extended period of times, and you know, different, but maybe not totally dissimilar. It's just like Ryan Ellis just being off a little bit, and Kyle was too. And so it's nice to see him get some production, hopefully get a little bit of his confidence back and his swagger, because he, I repeat for the second time, he's a top player that had a bad year. Yeah. And, you know, there's been all sorts of discussions about, you know, is he going to be traded? Should he be traded or what have you? I'm often saying to myself, it's probably a blessing in disguise where we are right today, because when you lose a top player like Forsberg, I mean, how many teams have a player that they can move into their top two lines, and somebody that can not only move into their top two lines but be productive and got the huge goal the other night? So, you know, I think Kyle is doing real well, and again, not unlike what we're talking about with Craig Smith. If we get our top two lines scoring, we get healthy, and Kyle is also scoring, it makes us a tough out.
You bring that up, and I'm always curious to get in the mind of the GM. When you hear rumors and everything, whether it's true or not true, like, how do you react to that? When you read things or somebody comes to you and says, is this true?
Well, it depends whether it's you or my...
And I'm being general. I'm not talking about a specific player.
Or the owner. There's possibly two different answers there. I don't know how to answer that, because it gets so much of it. And, you know, the coverage is fantastic these days for everything, and specifically here for sports. I mean, you know, I watch TV, I read things, I hear things or what have you, and it's just, you know, on Twitter or what have you, it's instant information all the time. So, you know, somebody could just put out something I could read 5 minutes ago that said that blank team was trying to trade this player. Well, right away, I have to, if I had some interest there, I have to explore that, you know, because I don't know whether it's fact or fiction. And so it's something that, you know, I guess it makes our job a little bit more difficult, but maybe on the other hand, it gets you right to the point right away of what might be going on in this this job. But again, there's so much out there, and again, it's not all true,
right?
And that's in itself is the problem, because whether it be a media person or maybe a manager, I mean, sometimes people are just putting out things there like to try to get a feel for the situation. So it's all part of the job. And again, now you have to realize too that I have a lot of people working for me, so they're reading different stuff. So, you know, we're talking every day, and somebody will say, did you see this, did you read this, or I was at that game, this is what I heard, or an actual factual thing is I see the way this team is playing that so-and-so is not getting much ice time and maybe he could be available, type of thing. So it's a lot of information to compile every day and make your decisions as to what you want to do, not only on your own team, but in, you know, possibilities out there with other teams.
But I would imagine that, you know, in 1998, when you started here with the Predators and the organization started, it's changed so much because of this little device, a smartphone and Twitter, and that back in the day it was more phone calls, and now you're getting texts and there's Twitter, and I'm sure how you've gone about that whole process has changed.
Yeah, it has, and again, it's, you try to stay as current as you can in this job, but just the layers of people that we have working for us, and amount of scouts, coaches, our office staff, all of that's increased. Analytics has been a new portion of the job that's really had a significant input to how you put together your team or how you may be making trades or acquiring players. There's just lots and lots of layers, and I'm sure on your side too. I mean, you see how it is on the media, the competition that you have to get the story out or to make a, you know, make an announcement or a decision or to try to get the scoop, if you will. So
that's why we have Elliot Friedman on the show now. We have our own insider.
Well, that's a good contact for you to have, because he gets his fair share. But it's all of us,
right?
The whole world is instant information. I mean, I think too, the younger generation is really likes our game, watches our game, knows the players really well, but a lot of times they're doing it just on the phone or through television, and we need to, you know, keep evolving as an organization to make sure that we can sell out the Bridgestone Arena and keep the interest there. So it's a fun business to be in, I'm sure, for all of us, but it's competitive, and it's evolving all the time, really fast.
1998, you probably had a pager, right? A beeper? Did you ever do a trade via the payphone? No, payphone.
Payphone.
Right, because you got the beep, right? You got the page, and then you went to the payphone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, fax machine. Again, I'm a dinosaur. I mean, you guys are so young. I mean, we never had these cell phones. You do know this is a relatively new invention. So if you're a manager, you're traveling, you know, city to city or what have you, the only way you had to communicate was through a telephone. So the big deal was, if you come back after a game, you'd be kind of praying when you got back to your hotel room that red light wasn't flashing. you know, because that's how we communicated. Yeah. And now it's like, if somebody wants you, they just call during this interview, and I got to talk to them. So it's really different. As I say, and as you guys know, it's instant information right away.
Before we let you go, we got to see Yakov Trenin for the first time, and I know he had a really good start for Milwaukee. Salamaki's back up, but what are some of your reports? What are some highlights from Milwaukee so far?
I watched the game on Sunday. I've seen three of their four games. Goaltending has been good with both Grosnick and Ingram. On defense, they've been fine. I think a young player that I want to watch a lot is Jeremy Davies. I think he got his first goal the other day, but probably needs a little bit more time and away from the puck and just being able to see what else is happening out there and not get just sort of drifting away from the play, so to speak. Forward-wise, I'd like to see a little bit more scoring. Trenin has been the best down there scoring, and I thought he played fine in his first game, but, again, needs a little bit more time. But we like the big body and the straight-ahead play, the forechecking, and a little bit of physical play. Other guys that are doing okay, Wilkins has got a couple. He's got a goal and a couple of assists, playing three games in three nights, first time for a college player to do that. It was a hard game for him to play. A player that was really good at training camp in Rem Pitlick has yet to get his first goal, which just goes to show you that it's not an easy...
It's a process,
yeah.
Right?
And sometimes there's a little bit more structure up here in an NHL than there is down there, where the players are running around a little bit more. So they're off to a decent start, 2-1, 1-3 or something. They played three overtime games in a row on the weekend and lost all three in overtime.
Oh,
so
boy. I
have to work on
that's
that.
That's a lot of hockey.
Yeah, that's right.
David, good to see you as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll have fun tonight.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
David Poile, Predators General Manager, joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. That's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on 102.5 The Game.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.